You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Hey, Charles here. Before this episode of It's All Cobblers to Me starts, I just wanted to take a moment and just say thanks very much for your support throughout the, 2.5 years that we've been doing this, over the past year, which has been very, very odd. It's been great that you've been there to listen to the four of us ramble on every single week. And tonight, as I record this, it's been announced that we're going back into lockdown. And I just wanted to say that we are just like you. We go through all the same sort of stuff that you probably are going through right now. And we don't know what it's going to do or what things are going to be like over the next 4 to 6 weeks and beyond that. One thing that we're going to try and do is keep going with the podcast. Obviously, the football is at this moment in time still going ahead. For how long? Nobody knows yet. But as much as we want to, it might be the odd occasion that we have to take a week off for our own benefit. As I said, we want to be there for you. Our Twitter handle, @cobblers2me, our DMs are open. If you fancy a chat, then be my guest. Come into our DMs, slide in like a good Sean McWilliams tackle and say hi. One of us, I'm sure, will pick it up and say hi back. However, if you want to talk to somebody that's a little bit more important or can maybe help you in a more professional way, then you can call the Samaritans on 116 123. We all know that this is going to be tough. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's going to be hard for everyone. I hope that we can bring a little bit of joy to you, not just today as you listen to the latest episode, but in the weeks to come. All I will say from here is please stay safe. Please follow the guidelines. And then hopefully we'll all be back together as soon as possible. Maybe even having a pint after a 20-minute wait at the bar in Carr's Bar. I hope you enjoy this episode of It's All Cobblers to Me. Cheers.
Cobblers to Me.
Kane again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3! Yeah!
Get it! Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. Yes, we're back again. I'm Charles. And coming up, we've got plenty of Cobblers-related chat, including a look back at Saturday's 0-0 draw with Sunderland. And with the transfer window officially open, we'll be speculating on all the comings and goings. Thankfully, I'm not on my own, as the whole gang is here. Danny, Chezzy, Neil, Happy New Year to all of you. How are you?
Happy New Year, Charles. We're all on our shiny new mics as well.
You are sounding crystal clear, all of you.
I don't sound like I'm in a box anymore, which is great.
Get back in your box.
I thought you used to just literally record from an actual box.
Yes.
I thought that's what Martha made you do.
Yeah. It's either that or the airing cupboard.
Get in your box, Danny.
Get in your box.
A bit like what Keith Curl says to Harry Smith every game. Right, we're starting off this week in the depths of the postbag, and with it being the start of a brand new year, we asked you to tell us your Cobblers-related New Year's resolutions, and you didn't let us down. Neil, it's your postbag, so you can start. What have we got first?
We've got Phil Kirby.
Oh, Phil.
Interestingly, we asked for resolutions. Phil started with no resolutions. So I'm not sure Phil truly followed the instructions, but he has gone on to say, but maybe not get so emotional and so reactive after a loss. Give it a day, and if I still feel the same, put my feelings out there. Sometimes calling for Keith Curl's head straight away is just a reaction to what I've witnessed and not my true feelings.
It's part of the fun, though, isn't it? You know, calling for somebody to be, you know, out on their ear, unable to pay the mortgage, feed the kids.
It's why managers don't. I know we get frustrated when Keith Curl takes ages after a loss sometimes to speak to the media, but he's doing that for a reason, isn't he? He's doing that so he doesn't
do a Dean Austin.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I think it's a fair shout. We're all like that, aren't we? We're very reactive.
You are.
When it's happening and straight after the whistle, but actually when you give it 24 hours, then you look at it slightly differently, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you say that, Neil, but a couple of weeks ago, I remember sitting here 24 hours later and
potentially calling
Keith Curl to be sacked, and I was gone and got 4 good points from 2 games, one of which I said I'd eat a goat live on the podcast if we got anything from. So I'm sat here, poor old Tilly's next to me, and
oh, no, not Tilly.
No, just about to tuck in. Oh, there she is. Get down. No, get away.
Have you not cooked the goat? You're not eating it raw.
I'm putting in the slow cooker.
Poor goat.
Is that one of Jeffy's recipes?
Yeah. Get down, you bastard.
quick, move on. Chezzy, what else have we got?
Josh Sims, apparently, he's decided he's going to start having some beers at around 3 p.m. every Saturday because apparently it might make the football better, which I have issue with. Because,
really?
Yeah, because...
Alcohol makes everything better, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but nothing really is going to make the Cobblers any better. And let's be honest, we did quite all right on Saturday. And I think that is a bit of a harsh way to start the year.
It depends when he's...
I think it makes perfect sense.
Is this the Doncaster player, by the way, Josh Sims? Is it him?
Possibly. It was John Sims at doncasterrovers.co.uk.
John or Josh?
No, Josh. 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 Josh.sims.
Josh.
Why did he email him for John? I don't know.
No idea.
Just don't give his email address out live on the podcast. For a lawsuit on hand. A Lawson Diath suit.
Who, hang on, right, plot twist, Lawson Diath is tearing the pitch apart at Yeovil, I've heard, on the grapevine.
Groundsman won't be happy.
No. Apparently,
what's he got, a fork?
He's doing well, which is great. They sit very close to the relegation zone, but, you know, he's still doing well.
They got Lawson Diath and Bagel.
And Warps. Yeah, and Warps.
What a strike Adam force Smith. That is. Oh. What a strike force.
Brilliant.
Don't seem to be scoring many goals, though. Anyway, that was way off topic. Sorry.
Yeah, anyway, Josh, I agree with Josh. Yeah, perfect. Great, great shout. Start drinking it. If anything, start drinking before 3 p.m., Josh. Get yourself well oiled up ready.
Like a proper match day. Is that what you mean, Neil?
Yeah, 10 a.m., bacon sandwich and a pint.
10 a.m., 10 a.m., start queuing.
Get yourself to Weatherspoons.
Get that realistic feel of the Carlsbar in there.
Is he trying to do it to make it feel like a normal match day? If so, I'm warm into the idea. I mean, I personally don't drink, but I mean, if it makes you feel like you're at a game, crack on.
I think he's doing it to survive the football.
Numb the pain.
Style, is it?
It could be worse.
It could be worse.
We could be Burton.
Oh,
we'll come on to him later.
Oh, will you? Careful. Danny, quick, move on.
Matt, just one name, Matt, says, a simple one for me. If I was Keith Curl, attack more would be my New Year's resolution. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to listen, and he's trying.
No, don't be silly.
Hey, he listened to me last week. He named an unchanged team, Danny.
He did.
Shows he does care.
He scored 3 times on Tuesday.
Yeah.
There we go. He's already enacting it. One chance. Come on, Matt. Always believed in Keith Kelmy.
Always. We had some comments about the Sunderland match, which we'll come on to in a moment. But do you guys have any cobblers related resolutions, Chezzy? Anything for you?
No, I don't set resolutions. But if I did have to have one, I would go with the same as Danny's, saying to Keith Curl, you should probably attack more. However,
that wasn't mine. That was your man's on email.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I read it as Danny, Matt.
Danny's was sack Keith Curl.
Danny's resolution was sack Keith Curl.
I don't think that be my resolution. I don't think I've got the power to do that.
But I'm looking forward to chatting with Keith Curl later in the week. Are you, Danny?
It is starting to come. I think he's changing his style a little bit. But yeah, I would say in terms of if I was Keith Curl himself, which I'm not, I would say try and change that style. But it is starting, dare I say it, to fall a little bit. Even the defence, as useless as they were a few months ago, are starting to adapt and look a little bit more like they're gelled, as opposed to just looking like they're just wandering around like Bambi on a pitch. They seem to be doing all right, but no, I quite like it. So yeah, Keith Curl, keep going with the old attack, but yeah, good.
That's
I don't
good.
Really that, have resolutions, to be honest.
That's absolutely fine. Danny, anything for you?
I'm going to, if we get to the EFL Champions League pizza final, I'm going to go to Wembley and eat a pizza. Even if we're not allowed, even if we're not allowed in the ground.
Nice.
Just going to go there.
That's your New Year's resolution. To eat a pizza.
Yeah, if we get to the final of the EFL Champions League Pizza Cup, I'm going to Wembley and eating a pizza on Wembley Way. Just me.
I like that.
You can bring this back up close to the time.
Don't worry, I'm sure we will. I've just got images. You remember Matt Sammons of Cobblers Vlogs went and recorded outside of Wembley.
Yes.
Before the game, before the playoff final. He recorded several different versions so that if we... He basically had different video takes for whatever kind of result that the Cobblers actually got at Wembley in advance so that he could just edit it together using the ones that closest matched what had happened on the pitch. I'm imagining now Danny doing exactly that, but with pizza.
Yeah, we won't need loads of different versions, though, will we? Because we're going to win. So
we always win at Wembley, don't we?
Written in the stars.
You've said it now.
Bradford.
Keith Curl, Pizza Cup champion.
Can you imagine? Keith Curl, playoff winner. Keith Curl, pizza champion.
They celebrate by taking a bath in pizza.
Yes, like they used to with a milk cup.
Yeah, they'll jump into a big bath of pizza.
Let's do that. What toppings are going to be on your pizza, Danny?
Oh, a goat, obviously.
Oh, goat. Goat pizza. Ooh.
Yeah. Bit of pepperoni. Bit of cheese, obviously. Standard. And the hair of Samuel Tobias Hoskins. Scattered, like, you know, like Parmesan cheese. It's like scattered over the top.
Okay, that
sounds horrific.
Samuel, yeah, it really does.
Samuel Tobias pizza, that's what I'll call it.
Oh, God.
Neil, any New Year's resolutions for you, Cobblers related?
No, not really, if I'm honest, Charles.
That should have been my answer, to be honest.
Try and be less reactive, but that's not going to happen. Try and be more reactive, that'll probably happen. Zero. Zilch. I can't think of anything.
It's one of those for me. Like, I liked Phil's thing about trying to be a little bit more, you know, take a step back and actually, you know, look at it with the claret-tinted specs taken off and not be so reactionary. I like that. However, I feel like that would be an extra nail in the coffin of football if that happened as fans, because it is part of football. Just like fans going to the games is part of football. Going and turning up half an hour early and standing in a queue just to get one pint in is part of the day out of football. So turning around and saying, oh God, it's absolutely rubbish and everybody should be sacked immediately after you've lost 1-0. That's part of football. I don't really want to get rid of that. I do get the whole thing though with the mental health side of it. I think if we all kind of just sort of took a moment and just went, do you know what? It's not the end of the world. It's not life or death. It is only football. Then maybe that would.
I've got one resolution.
Actually. Go on.
It's to continue. Keep having sly little digs on Twitter.
Continue. You don't do that, do you?
What are you doing that for?
Yeah, just the odd little one that'll slide in here or there.
Like a Sean McWilliams tackle.
I've never slid into Sean McWilliams' tackle.
Do you resent that accusation?
No.
Good. If you were Danny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait.
If I was Danny, right.
Yeah, if you were Danny Neil, what would your New Year's resolution be?
Release the goats.
If you were, no, Danny, if you were in charge of the Cobblers, either.
God forbid.
God forbid.
Jesus.
Oh, imagine that.
4-4-2.
Taking back control.
Big man, little man. Wingers.
What would your New Year's resolution be for the Cobblers?
To start, I'm going to do a serious one, to start believing in their own ability, Charles, and to actually trust themselves to take the ball and run with it a little bit and have a go. Ooh. And just have a little bit of a go more often, I think. That'd be
okay.
It.
Chessy?
What, if I was Keith Curl?
Yeah, if you were Keith Curl, what's the one thing that you'd take into 2021 and try and change from what had happened in 2020?
signing the world's worst defence. No, I'm joking. That's so harsh. No, I would say definitely sharpen up the defence. Sharpening up the attack. Those two basic areas.
Look sharp, basically.
But no, I mean, I like the bloke. I think he's doing a great job, so I think it's quite harsh. But I think, no, I think the defence needs a bit of work. But other than that, I think he's all right. He's on the right track. As long as we stay up. Stay up. That's it.
There we go.
You went, stay in the league.
Took a while.
Keith Curl, all you've got to do is stay in the league, buddy. And then you've won the hearts of Northampton Town.
I think that was pretty much what every single Cobblers fan would want, isn't it, really? Right, that's the end of part one. We'll be back in a minute and we'll be looking back at that 0-0 draw with Sunderland.
I'm Tom Cliff, Cobblers fan and proud owner of Track NN and Cafe Track. Track NN is a social enterprise set up in 2018 to support autistic people to access employment through training, support services and creating opportunities. Research showed that just 16% of autistic adults were in full-time employment, and this is something which we are going to change. We opened our cafe on the Market Square in Northampton in January 2019 as a place where individuals could work and develop their employability skills and also be a place where people were free to be themselves. Since opening the cafe in January 2019, we have supported 36 people into paid employment and created over 75 work experience placements and visits for individuals. Since the coronavirus outbreak, we've not been able to open Cafe Track to its full capacity, and we've instead taken our offering online. You can help support us by buying coffee virtually at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Your money goes to helping us to continue to create opportunities for autistic adults to gain employment.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. I'm Charles. Thanks very much for joining me, Danny, Neil and Chezzy. A good point on Saturday against one of the big boys of League One. Cobblers drew 0-0 with Sunderland of two, of course. But, guys, was it a chance missed? I don't think Sunderland were really that good, were they, Danny?
They were nowhere near as good as I thought they were going to be, no. They had, obviously had the quality players, individuals. You know, old Aidan McGeady clearly got quality. Charlie Wyke, you'd think, has got a bit of quality about him. He's scored goals all over the place. And he missed a couple of great chances, and the Sunderland fans are just not liking him at all at the minute. Danny Graham, who came on for him, is quality. Ledbetter in the middle of the park as well. Max Power. They've got so much individual quality, but they just didn't put it together on Saturday. So I'm not sure if it's a chance missed. It was just more felt like they were nowhere near at the level as I thought they would be. And I think we probably caught them at a good time.
Yeah, for me, it just felt like it was a game that on paper you think, oh God, what's going to happen here? And I know I predicted a 1-1 draw back on the preview show last week, but I think deep down in my heart, I was kind of expecting a thrashing. And yep. I was quite surprised that Sunderland, as you said, they just weren't as good as what I was expecting. And I don't know whether that is actually just down to the fact that here's me as a fan of little old Northampton. Oh, it's big Sunderland. Oh, and actually they're not. And, you know, I think in a way we've got to sort of remember that they're in League One just the same as we are. And there's a reason for that. And they aren't necessarily the best thing since sliced bread.
Can I point out, that's what I said at the start of the season, and you'll pillared me and hung me out to dry.
You say that they are on a different level to us, though, surely. And surely you look at
money
it.
Money wise, they are.
Money wise and player wise, like I just said, the individuals and all that kind of thing, even the manager that they can attract has come down from the Championship.
But I
wouldn't say they're crap. They're clearly in the middle of managers. Like they're just coming off of a manager who didn't play very nice football at all, who the fans are really getting on the back of for not playing in the way that they want him to play, and they're transitioning to a new manager who wants to play the complete opposite way. And that doesn't come overnight. I think they're really stuck in the midst of things. Like they went and beat Lincoln 4-0 because Lincoln try and play the same way as they do and they've got a bit more space to do it. Whereas they've come up against us. They've drew with Wimbledon a couple of weeks ago. Probably a month ago now. They were playing in a different style who were going to upset them and scrap at them, and I thought we did a really good job at that. So It is a big club for this league. You can't. There's no two ways about it. I don't think
it's a big club, but I don't
League One. And I think it was a good point because
I don't think we'll ever get another opportunity to beat Sunderland in a league game as good as that.
I kind of agree.
I don't know with that. Yeah, I don't know. Are we really of that good a quality ourselves though, that we thought we looked threatening enough to do that? Like we haven't missed loads of big chances and stuff.
No, but that's the point. That's why it's an opportunity missed, right? I just think. Yeah, it's a good point. I'm not trying to deter from the fact that it's a good point. I just think they were there for the taking, really. They'd had a couple of weeks off because of COVID. We were inching towards some form of form. I just think, and they didn't really show much. Mitchell didn't have much to do, did he, really?
I can't remember maybe one save that he had to make.
A couple straight up towards him, and he tipped one over the bar, I think, didn't he?
He did.
Keeper didn't have much to do either, but that's a continuous problem for us, isn't it?
Yeah, there was that scramble where Wyke just should have scored from about 3 yards out, weren't they?
There were chances for us. They just weren't on target, were they? I mean, the big chance for me that sticks in my mind is Ryan Watson.
Oh.
He drew three defenders towards him, which left Nicky O'Adams wide open.
Nicky O'Adams.
Nicky O'Adams wide open to his left.
You've Irished him again.
Yeah, I have, yeah. If he just managed I say this as if I could have done it, but you know, if he'd looked up, seen Adams,
it was easy.
I mean, you say that, but
it was,
yeah,
it was so easy. Why he didn't just pass? It was ridiculous. Just intelligence. And Keith Cole said this time and time again last season: decision making. That's decision making. Look for the pass. Pass it. Bang, straight in the back of the net. There's no excuse for that. So I wouldn't have a no, no, no. I really wasn't, because that's just basics, absolute basics. Under eights could do that.
I think that's kind of like my point as to why I think that was our biggest chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that
and why it was a missed opportunity. Because I just sort of, you've got to wonder, if we'd have gone ahead,
we'd have won 5-0. You know,
maybe, maybe not. But, you know, if we'd have gone ahead, I'd have actually fancied us to have held on. I didn't feel like we were troubled.
I think it's a different game if we go ahead, because that then forces them. Not that they weren't, I mean, they had more of the possession anyway, didn't they? And not that they weren't sort of probing and pressing anyway, but it almost forces
nothing
their
new
hand.
There.
No, it almost forces their hand. And also, I think if we go ahead, we instantly would probably become a bit more nervous and take a step back.
We'd have just parked the bus if we went ahead. So I think it kind of worked in our favour that it stayed 0-0 for ages. And had we have nicked a late goal, then great. But I don't think you can diss the players too much for that result, because I think it was a really hard result. Yeah, right, we could say that Ryan Watson should have just looked and picked out that pass because it was completely there for the taking. We can criticise that one moment. But actually, individually and collectively, that was a really good result, and a result that should not be underestimated for confidence and just really for, you know, being recognised for actually doing their job and doing it properly and doing it well. You know, I think we really fell apart a little bit before Christmas, and Keith's done a very good job to recover that. And they're a so-called big side, but they are just a side in League One like us. So 0-0's great, because we needed not to win and then lose, because that would have been worse, I think, than losing twice.
Yeah, it's good for momentum, isn't it? And absolutely, for confidence, as you say. Confidence building, definitely. I will say that I don't think that I ever felt like I don't feel like we had any real scary moments like we have done in past games this season. There were chances for Sunderland. The Aidan McGeady cross that went straight across the front of goal, I think it was their attacking midfielder maybe running in. Bolger, I think, was quite clever, managed to sort of leverage him off the ball a bit or away from the ball, otherwise it would have been a fairly easy goal. And then that chance that you said Charlie Wyke had, Danny, in the, you know, bouncing around in the 6-yard box. But I didn't feel like our defence was particularly worried as such.
I didn't either. I thought they did a really good job. I still don't think they're perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But they're definitely significantly better and significantly more decisive in their actions, and they don't dilly-dally and faff about, you know, when there's a striker right next to them ready to nick the ball. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit more like they actually know what they're doing, and it's more comfortable to watch. Like I said, they're nowhere near perfect, but that's okay. I can deal with that. It's just this, we seem to have ironed out that silly stuff that was going on at the beginning of the season and that basic decision-making. I would like to see that decision-making, said that three times now, worked on slightly, in terms of the fact that I honestly think that we could do a better job than just lumping it, or our recycling of possession, as Tim Oglethorpe loves to say, is that when we clear it, a lot of the time it just comes straight back in. It's that momentum of being able to clear it, get it to one of your players, and then move on the break. That would where we'd be able to hurt those kinds of teams. And I think that's the next step. But I think if we've managed to get from, let's face it, almost despair at the first couple of weeks of the season because they just looked horrific, to looking okay and steady in January, then I'm quite willing for that to flourish throughout the year and just see where it leads us, because I don't think they're all that bad. I just think they needed work. And I think Keith and his coaching team have done a good job of getting where they are. They just need to be the next step now. But we've got enough about us, I think, to just get through the next couple of weeks at least. Whether we've got enough to stay up, it remains to be seen, doesn't it? But at least we're not, you know, 12 points adrift at the bottom and absolutely helpless.
I do wonder whether he's worked on the defence. You know, obviously having that two terrible results, or three if you include the crew game as well, three terrible results on a bank on a row, and then we had Boxing Day off, didn't we, because of Ipswich having COVID issues. So therefore, Kells had a bit of a more of a chance to actually get them on the training pitch, or the six-wheeled pitch anyway, and maybe work with them a little bit more on tactics, on their defence. And maybe it was the thing that he sort of went was, we need to sort the defence out first, which, you know, we've conceded one goal in the last two games, which is a whole lot better than, well, 10 in the previous three.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe the next step is now to sort of go, right, okay, we've worked on that. We seem to have, not necessarily say that we've cracked it, but we've now got a decent base. Now we need to build on that and maybe look to add a bit of creativity going forward, because that is the one thing that we still lack, and was the thing that was still plainly obvious to me on Saturday, was that, you know, chances, you know, they came, but they kind of came out of the blue, didn't they, Danny? It wasn't like you sort of watched it all unfold and think, this is a really good chance from the, you know, the start of the, or the build up of that bit of play. It just, they just kind of happened.
For Sunderland, you mean?
No, for us.
Yeah, there was one where Watson could have had a penalty, weren't there? There was a couple that flashed over, flashed wide, but yeah. It's obviously, I think, like you say, the defence is the first thing to sort out when you're in a situation like this, when you're in a relegation battle like we are, and we have just lost a couple of games 4-0 in a row. It's natural. You just got to shut up shop and just try and eke out a couple of results. I mean, Gillingham, I thought we had the best of both worlds. We defended well and we attacked well. In games like this against a team like Sunderland, we're going to be up against it for most of the game, but we dealt with it. And a massive part of that, again, is down to, and we'll come on to him, Sean McWilliams, who protects that defence a lot more than every other player on that team would do. Alan Sheehan being back is a massive plus. Lloyd Jones has obviously been training with us all season anyway, so he knows what's going on. Cole knows what he's all about. So having those three in there is massive, and I think it helps Keane Bolger out as well, and he can be a bit more kind of free to do his thing and just get rid of it and win his headers and stuff without having to worry about anything else. So it's definitely the base of the stuff has to happen first.
Yeah, you mentioned Sean McWilliams there. He was the clear name. Wazza.
Yeah.
I certainly can. He was definitely the man of the match, wasn't he, Neil? There wasn't anybody else on a cobbler's perspective that could have, you know, taken that accolade, was there?
No, I think he was the clear standout performer in terms of man of the match. He was really good, wasn't he? It was the sort of performance that, sounds a bit of a strange thing to say, I guess, but it was the sort of performance that we've kind of been waiting for from him. Because I think we all knew he had that ability and stuff. This is also going to sound a bit of a strange thing to say, but it was the kind of performance, I thought, where he went a little bit from being a boy to being a man.
Oh.
Because he definitely matured in his game, hasn't
he?
Absolutely.
He still got a bit of a sort of nasty streak in him about a bit of petulance and stuff, but the way he protected the defence and the way some of the tackles he put in, it was just the sort of thing that I've been waiting for anyway from him, that sort of you almost hope and would hope now that that's lift off, if that makes sense for him, because he's struggled, he's been in and out of the team with injuries and suspensions, and he's had a bit of a tough time, but there's always been something there, hasn't there? There's always been that thought that actually he's going to be a pretty good player. And if he keeps up that performance week in, week out, he won't be with us that long, will he?
No. He's only 22. I think that's one thing that I actually maybe forget a little bit. He's made 72 appearances for us now. Yes, he's been injured an awful lot, so maybe he could be well past his 100th if he'd have remained fit all the way through the last sort of 4 years. However, the fact is he's still very young. He is still learning his trade. And I think you are right. I think he has matured an awful lot in the last, well, two games. Let's just say, having him back in the side. I mean, you know, the red card that he picked up wasn't particularly great. And, you know, whether it was, you know, on purpose or not, you know, that challenge. Of course, I don't think there was any malice in it whatsoever, but, you know, it was a red card, and maybe he's had to therefore go away and think a bit more about how he, I suppose, is aggressive without being, you know, going over that line. And I thought on Saturday, he was just, it was perfection. The amount of times he was just harrying, and every tackle was well timed. And I looked at it and kind of felt like he was, if you take him out of the team on Saturday, I think we get beat quite comfortably, personally.
Oh, without question.
And yeah, that is a worry, because another sending off, which could happen, or, you know, another ban for yellow cards being collected. I know we're past the threshold now, and I think you have to get 10 to be banned. But the other thing is, of course, his injury record. So there isn't anyone in the squad who actually fills his position when he's not in the side. And that is a huge worry, isn't it, Chessy?
Yeah, he reminds me a little bit of Jonjo a lot, actually, because I remember when we were under, I think it was just in Edinburgh we were under, possibly. Mm. I can't remember. And we had about 12 games left, didn't we? And we needed to stay in the league. And it was kind of fairly desperate. And the decision was to play Jonjo O'Toole despite having a really bad injury. And they played him on his injury, didn't he? And it meant that he wasn't quite the same player when he came back for that next season. And
right.
I think McWilliams is a little bit like that, in terms of, I think Keith Curl's probably very aware that we don't function as well without him and without that real presence in midfield. And I think Jonjo was very similar in that, because we knew when he wasn't playing, and he, because he would run around like headless chicken all over the place, and he was quite aggressive as well. And I think he plays in a very similar style to Jonjo. And again, he's one of those players that without, we don't seem to perform as well. I mean, McWilliams is, you know, very young, and he has a huge amount of potential, but again, it doesn't quite flow without him. But what I always figure with McWilliams as well is that he's always going to be, for a little while anyway, around 9 or 10 months behind how good he could be, if that makes sense. Because don't forget, you know, he's had that real bad injury run, and that you're never quite where you need to be for a little while after that. We know that from so many players. I mean, remember when Mark Richards years ago did both his knees? And it knocks the stuffing out of you for a while, doesn't it? And it takes a little while just to get back to that absolute peak that you are. And I really don't think we've ever seen the best out of him. Not through his own fault, just through injury and whatever. But I think in the right team, with the right footing, I think he could be and is going to be pivotal for us this season. He could actually be the difference between staying up and going down.
Right, okay.
I'm going to say that.
Well, I just want to quickly, because the one other thing that caught my eye on Saturday was the fact that Curl actually named an unchanged starting lineup for the first time in what feels like forever. Yeah, exactly. Fanfare time. I mean, he's been criticised as being the tinker man in the past, and it was, you know, so often it feels like sometimes a player has a good game and the next game he's dropped, almost like he's not allowed to be that good. So gets a telling off and sat back on the bench for the next
one. I'd love that. I'd love to be a fly on the wall with that conversation. You've been really good, but unfortunately you're not playing this week.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that maybe the fact that there was that continuity, Danny, was part of what led to our success, if you like, on Saturday?
Yeah, it definitely helps, doesn't it? Obviously, one on Tuesday night, you're going to take that momentum a little bit, and especially it being a Tuesday, Saturday, you think is going to make one or two changes just because of fitness and stuff. But we have got another,
Sorry.
I thought that was my bell for a good point or something.
I thought it was a sign that your goat curry was ready.
Sorry.
What was I saying? Yeah, it can't be a bad thing, can it? I think we were all in a bit of shock when it came out that it was unchanged. But Yeah.
It's fun though, isn't it, when it's unchanged? It's like, always woo-hoo! Good.
Yeah, he's always kind of looking at it, looking, thinking, oh, where's Hoskins going to play? It's one of our questions on our Slack before every game, predict where Sam Hoskins is going to play.
Goal.
Goal?
In goal.
We can want him in goal, don't we?
By the end of the season, yeah.
He's left. Yeah. Pizza Cup final.
Get them all in. Yeah, it was good. It was nice. Good to see. It'll obviously be changed again, probably for the old Pizza Cup, but now they've got a couple of weeks now to the next league game. So hopefully by that point, we'll be unchanged again, unless we've made any new signings.
I suppose that's it, isn't it? I'd like to see, wouldn't you, Neil, this side at least get the next game? Whether you sort of look at it as the next game being that Pizza Cup tie with MK or being the following Saturday in the league. I think, as much as you've got to have a little bit of a one eye on the opposition. So for example, if they've got towering centre backs, then maybe don't go and play somebody tiny up front. But, I think you keep a winning side together, don't you? And okay, it was a draw on Saturday, but it was a good point. And we did win the Tuesday night before against Gillingham.
Yeah, you always want to try and keep a consistent and solid team selection, don't you? I think that's part of the problem we've had for a lot of the season is it's not really been apparent what Keith Curl has thought his best team is. So, I'd like to see a consistent team. I guess it depends on injuries, doesn't it? I know She-Dog limped off a little bit, didn't he?
I don't know if it was. He said after the game. He said after the game it was done. He was just down to being two games in a week, and he's just got back kind of thing. Yeah,
fair enough. So I think it's important. But caveat to that is, and I know we're going to come on and discuss this shortly, but the transfer window is wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is very true. And after this last break, we will talk about exactly that.
Do you enjoy It's All Cobblers to Me? Do you want more Cobblers-related podcast content? And to feel all warm and fuzzy inside? Well, now you can! Sign up to support the podcast on Patreon. From as little as £2 per month, you'll receive access to additional content such as Q&As, meetups, a night of passion with Neil, merchandise, and bonus episodes. And you'll be supporting us to keep bringing you a weekly podcast about the biggest and best football team in the world of Northampton. Go to patreon.com/cobblers to me right now. One night with Neil may not be passionate to the naked eye and may require years of counselling afterwards, for which we are not liable.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank you very much for joining us. If you've missed us, I don't know where you've been. You can just press rewind and go and listen to all the chat that we've already done about the Sunderland game. And we've looked at your postbag comments as well. But the January transfer window, as Neil said just before the break, is well and truly wide open. That does mean that there are options for Keith Curl. He talks about that an awful lot. But one of the big things that's really come out in the last couple of days, really, since that Sunderland game, was first of all something that I'd forgotten all about, in fairness, which is the fact that you can have a maximum of 22 players in your squad, not counting under 21s. I think you can have as many of those as you want to bulk it up a bit. But essentially, that's meant that Keith Curl will have to get rid of players before we can bring anyone else in. So I suppose the starting point with this, guys, is, and it might actually be quite easy, this, but who do you look to offload if you're Keith Curl, Chezzy?
Nuttall's already disappeared, hasn't he?
Has he actually gone? He's just been removed from the squad.
He's been removed from the list.
Is he officially gone?
Yeah.
I believe that they're talking to Blackpool, aren't they? They're trying to get Blackpool to basically do what has happened with Luka Rajčić, which is to recall him from his loan. But I've got a feeling that Blackpool are rubbing their hands and laughing their heads off, if I'm being honest, because I presume here that we're playing Nuttall's wages. He's injured. Blackpool will be going, sold as seen, fellas. Sorry, lads.
Yeah. I've tried to return things to Blackpool before and it's not ended very well at all. No. Not easy. Not easy.
Oh, dear.
Hope he's kept the receipt. Oh, Keith.
But yeah, so Nuttall's already off the list. And as far as I'm concerned, Lloyd Jones has taken his position.
Mm-hmm.
Luka Rakitić is under 21.
He's gone, so isn't he?
He's gone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Big news.
Late Christmas present for you there, Jeffy.
Well, yeah, that's a bit harsh, but I mean, he weren't good enough, so you're right. But I do think Keith Hill needs to be a bit ruthless. You know, if some of these players ain't playing or having to be sent out on loan, like, get rid. You know, football is a game, okay? It always will be. It's about fans. It's about, you know, community, whatever. But ultimately, football is also a business. Get rid of some of these bench warmers that just sat there doing out. Just get rid of them. There's no need for them to be there. We're living in a very difficult climate at the moment financially for every club, not just our club. And having a load of players sit on a bench when you've got a maximum of 22 minus your youngsters, just get rid. Just get rid and freshen up and just see where the land lies in the summer.
Such a weird one, the Rakitić one as well, because he came in and there was so much, all the Brentford fans were telling us what a great talent we've got. And like, we were thinking, oh, there we go. That's Charlie's replacement sorted. He plays pre-season and he did all right. But then as soon as the season starts, it's just first thing he does is give the ball away. And it just went downhill from there. It's such a weird situation. I just wonder whether it's something to do with attitude, not matching the manager and what he wants, that kind of situation. Because sometimes you see players like that, don't you? You just don't perform for certain managers and then he'll go back to Brentford and suddenly appear in their team to be a superstar. And it just doesn't work. Some people's like nature doesn't work for certain managers, and that might have been what happened here.
You only got to look at Ricky Holmes. I mean, when Pompey let him go, they were like, yes, we've got rid of him. And look what happened.
You're right.
And then look what happened to John Joe O'Toole, who literally fell apart, didn't play anything after Bristol Rovers, and then suddenly just turned his career around.
Yeah, you are right. I mean, one of the things that I thought was quite interesting in Keith's post-match interview with Tim Oglethorpe and Radio Northampton on Saturday was that he was asked about the January transfer window. And one of the things that he said that was actually useful information, I thought, was this whole thing where we've all been quite critical of the summer transfer window activity. So have a lot of fans on social media as well. But Keith made the point that this year has been very difficult in terms of signing players because of the way that he likes to operate. So we all know that he likes to be able to meet with the players. You know, we all know that you can go and find out what type of player a person is simply by watching, you know, games back, videos of matches that they've played in. But you don't get to know about the person by doing that. And Keith has always talked about getting the right personality in the dressing room. And I don't think he's really had the chance to do that. And maybe that was part of the issue with players like Rakitić, is that he didn't have the opportunity to actually meet them and get to sort of know what kind of personality that they had and whether they would fit into the dressing room. So it's still going to be a bit of a struggle, I think, isn't it, Neil, for him to do that now?
Sorry, what was the question?
Luka Rakitić, discuss.
Yeah, he's great.
Discussion over.
He's not very good. He was a disappointment. I'm glad he's gone back.
That wasn't the question, but brilliant. Great answer.
It'll do. It's fine.
What you were saying, Charles, as well, it's I felt more like it was part of the Charlie Goode deal. It wasn't officially said as such, but part of the deal was, we sold Charlie Turman, you send us one of your centre-backs on loan as a kind of deal-breaker thing.
Well, I wish he hadn't put send your worst one.
But you know what I mean?
It's like that most rubbish centre-back.
Yeah. So he might not have actually got the chance to sit down with Rakitić and look him in the eyes and look deep into his soul and see what kind of man he is. Whereas clearly, if he did have the chance, he probably would have found out a few things about him that he didn't like and moved on to someone else.
Yeah, like he likes his spa days and things. I can't imagine Keith having that.
No, he wouldn't have liked that. No.
Absolutely.
Especially
not.
If he's wandering around with a Louis Vuitton wash bag, because Keith definitely doesn't like them.
Yeah. Any spa Keith likes is the one where he gets 2-for-1 on Twixes.
Yeah.
Oh, do you reckon he eats Twixes?
Keith, yeah, he'll have a
He'll
sit there. He'll sit there, cup of coffee, a vape, and a Twix.
Oh,
I reckon it's a double-decker. It. Keith Curl, if you're listening, I'll ask you next week, actually.
Yeah, ask him.
Do you like double-deckers or Twixes? I reckon he'd go for a double-decker.
I love it.
Drifter.
While we're here and we're talking about players that have left, a word for Jacob Ballinger. I wonder whether he was a victim, Neil, of this 22-man squad limit, because I think maybe in previous years he'd been maybe given an extra year to prove himself.
Who, Jacob Ballinger?
Yeah.
Depends who you ask, Charles, doesn't it? Some people think he's the best thing since sliced bread, despite having never watched him. Player pathway. It's one thing that gets on my goat.
Hang gets on your goat.
Oh, hang on.
Gets on your goat.
It gets off my goat, or gets whatever the phrase about goats is. It's that.
Can we stop saying goats?
Goat. Yeah. Goat.
It's one of those things when a youth player or a younger player is released by the club, and some knobhead pipes up and says, "Well, this is not acceptable. You know, we should be giving young players the chance and stuff." How many times have you watched him play? What do you know about him? What do you know about his character? He might turn up to training, forget his boots, that sort of thing, and think, "Ah, well, I'm not going to bother training today. Not bothered." He might be an alcoholic. He might be a pisshead. He might do drugs. You don't know. It's just that, it's one of the things which really frustrates me. I understand about criticising the club when it's due criticism, but if the football, you know, the people in charge of football at the club have made a decision about a player that's young, look, they don't feel he's good enough, he's not going to break into the team, so be it. Why kick up a fuss about it? And like, you've never seen him play.
There's such a mad thing about Joey Gifano made as well, because he started to score a few goals in the Conference South or whatever it is. And people are saying, just because we weren't scoring goals at the time, you've got to get him back in. It was such a mistake. And
yeah, but we've got Matt Warburton him, and he scored 45 goals in a season for Stockport and completely underperformed.
Essentially, so some people are not going to be happy until we've got a whole team of players that have come from our academy, even if they're crap, by the way, and we're getting hammered 7-0 each week. They're not going to be happy until we've got a team of them and we're owned by a fan.
A fan.
Yeah, Jima.
Joe Wiley. Oh, Jima. Yeah, that's probably more sensible.
Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. Well, from one player that, or maybe from one issue that causes a bit of a stink to another, Ricky Holmes is not guaranteed to be given a contract extension. Again, partly because of this 22-man squad ruling. It's not gone down very well as a piece of news that was released on Twitter on Sunday by the Chronicle and Echo and James Hennigan. You can understand, can't you, Jeffy, the frustration of the fans seeing a player that was so much of a threat and a part of that 2016 title-winning side come back, play, four games, score one goal, and then potentially he's going to get released?
Yeah. However, I think we may, or the media may, have read a bit too much or made a bit too much of that story. That was probably, I personally think, that was probably Keith Curl's way of saying, haven't discussed it yet. But because I think if you're going to bring in a player, let's face it, of that quality, obviously knowing the background and the injury, you're not going to bring him in, what was it? 3 months? 12 weeks? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not going to bring him in for 12 weeks and then just release him. That's a futile and pointless piece of business, frankly. And it's worthless, really. It's absolutely pointless to do that. And I don't think Keith Curl is that stupid. I mean, I could be digging myself a massive hole here.
Keith Curl actually said they have discussed it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that... I don't think he'll go, because I think Keith Curl is slightly more intelligent in the way that he does business. And I don't think he would have bought that in, changed up and chopped up a squad in whichever way to fit him in or to use him and then just to ship him out 12 years. I don't think that is how Keith operates. I think he's a bit more savvy. So I would like to think that he would stay, because he's a huge asset to that squad and would do great things in the dressing room alone. Even if he doesn't play and he's just a presence in the dressing room.
With a 22-man squad, you can't afford to have someone on that 22-man squad that is purely there just to be in the dressing room.
Oh, see, I disagree on that one.
I don't think he is. I don't think he would be one of those players either. I don't think he's played the last couple of games because of this situation on its own. He's never going to be somebody just is there for the dressing room. Like Ryan Watson played in a position where I see Ricky Holmes could do really well in, just like drifting behind the front two, no other real responsibility other than picking the ball up and trying to make things happen rather than in the centre of midfield or right wing back or whatever. I actually think he is a massive part. He could play a massive part still. But I just think the last couple of games, he's probably known the situation and Keith just wanted to put Watson in there just in case it doesn't work out with Holmes.
See, to me, it feels like it's the kind of thing that gets released, i.e. this interview, as a you know, let's prep the fans, right, so it's not just a shock exit when he leaves.
I don't think it'll be a shock, though. I think...
I think he's just made a cameo appearance
if he goes. It's just a nice ending cameo. There'll be no hard feelings, I don't think.
No, of course there won't be any hard feelings towards Ricky Holmes, but there will be towards Keith Curley if he lets what is essentially probably the most ambitious attacking player that we've got in the side go. I mean, what signal does it put out to the fans? Is basically, you know, we don't want a player with any flair. We don't want any excitement in the squad. I know he's not the same player as he was in 2016, but he has still shown signs that he has got skill and that he could be that little bit of excitement that gets, if we were actually there, gets bums off seats.
And what's better out there as well? If we're looking in the transfer window and he does go and we're looking for someone like that, there's no one better out there in for what we're looking for in our budget, probably.
When you say where does he fit in, Neil, what do you mean in terms of in the squad?
Where do you play him if he comes on?
Behind the striker.
Behind the front two.
Who plays there at the moment?
Watson.
Ryan Watson.
Does he?
Well, more or less.
You see him tearing down the pitch trying to win a penalty, Neil?
Why does Ryan Watson play there?
Because he can't play any deeper, probably.
Yeah. When he plays deep, he looks a bit sorts, doesn't he?
I think there's a little bit with Ricky Holmes, I think there's a little bit of nostalgia and emotional thoughts. I love Ricky Holmes and he was brilliant for us when he was here last time and he's still clearly got great technical ability and stuff. I don't think, personally, from what I've seen of him so far, I don't think he is robust enough. He doesn't look like he trusts his body at times. I just think that the type of, this is what I mean by when I say, where does he fit in? We don't have the luxury. Keith Curl's style isn't to have the luxury of a player that is, you know, just a creative player and doesn't really offer a huge amount else. He's not going to fly into tackles or anything. He's not going to have the energy to get up and down up and down the pitch constantly and stuff. So I don't really see where he fits in. That's the problem. I think he's, as an impact player coming off the bench, absolutely. But can we afford to keep him on as an impact player coming off the bench if we think we can improve elsewhere?
Okay. Well, in that respect then, let's look at elsewhere in the squad and where you think that Keith Cole needs to look to strengthen. He's already strengthened the defence with the arrival, if you like, of Lloyd Jones from the training pitch, essentially. That's where he's come from. Danny, where would you like to sort of see us now bringing players in? I mean, we can sort of all probably name two or three players that will probably be looked to move out. Probably out of those, most likely you're looking at a midfielder or two and certainly a defender that would probably be the obvious options to be going out. Would you therefore be replacing like for like in terms of positions?
Yeah, I think we need a different kind of midfielder from McWilliams, who's someone who's going to, I mean, Sowerby tries to do the job, but he's decent enough at it, but I think we still could strengthen there a little bit in the middle of the park. I do think we should look at getting another wing-back in terms of an out-and-out wing-back.
An actual wing-back, someone
who does it week in, week out, someone who knows what he's doing defensively as well as going forward, someone who, like...
Someone like Joseph Mills, maybe.
Someone like Joseph Mills, but on the other side, yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, essentially, someone who... He's got experience in defending as well and can just get up and down the wing. And, you know,
like a Brendan Maloney.
Like a Brendan Maloney in his peak, in his pomp.
Oh, yeah. Brendan Maloney, what a player.
Yeah, a bit like that.
Danny nearly got his house.
It wasn't a raffle. It was...
It's fallen on hard times.
Yeah, an Ali Gibb style, if you will. Yeah, so like maybe another forward as well. I'd throw in another centre back as well, just in case, because you never
just
know
shits
what.
And giggles.
Well, yeah, you never know if Alan gets injured again or whatever. Then we're down to the bare bones. But speaking of which, I thought Horsfall did pretty well when he came on.
Yeah, I give him his credit. I think he did do okay when he came on. There wasn't a major change in fortunes, was there, for the defence when that change happened?
Yeah.
Chezzy, is there anyone in particular that you can think of that you'd like to see come in?
I'd like a nippy striker.
Okay. Jamie Vardy.
Imagine.
Jamie Forrester.
Jamie Forrester.
A kind of Mark Richards-esque player who's just there right time, just will poke it in the back of the net.
He won't nippy.
He's not nippy.
He'd give it a poke, though, wouldn't he?
No, but do you know what I mean? We'll just pop up randomly and just chuck it in the back of the net and be in the right place at the right time. That kind of player. I mean, if he's fast, then great. But if not, you know, as long as he can score. We're missing. I know we've got it in Danny Rose, but it's not really showing because of the style of play. But I think he's a good player within the squad. But I think he would work really well alongside another person who can, a Callum Morton as such, who's just there. You know, who just arrives, chucks it in the net, and says, thank you very much. That kind of player. Jury's out of the defence. Like I've said earlier, I'm willing to see what they turn into. But ideally, I would really seriously look at the defence because I still don't think it's quite good enough. I'm not convinced by Bolger being captain, which we've said time and time again. Maybe shake things up a little bit in defence, but up front is my main issue.
Okay. On that, Neil, there has been some, I won't call them rumours. Rumours isn't the right word, but there's been some chat on social media about a certain couple of former centre-backs coming back. Charlie Goods, Scott Wharton. What are your thoughts? Think that's ever likely to happen, either of those two?
No.
Good. Brilliant.
It's not, is it? Look, Charlie Good is at Brentford now, and I know he's not starting for them, but he's in and around the squad, isn't he? And Scott Wharton's injured, isn't he? Didn't he have a pretty bad injury for Blackburn?
Yeah, he's in a bad way, isn't he, old Scott Wharton?
It's just one of these things, isn't it, that we're like fans are always obsessed with players coming back. Like, you know, there's other players out there.
Imagine if Bayo just wandered into the squad. Like, that would be so
I saw someone fun. Mention about Jordan Turnbull coming back as well, and I was like, well, we couldn't afford to keep him.
He's earning bags of money at Salford. He's at happy days.
Yeah, leave him alone. He's living around the corner from me.
Get Perry and G in.
Get Perry and G in. Get in Danny O'Shea.
Oh,
Eric Sabin.
Yeah, Lee Culkin.
Oh, I knew you were going to go for a Lee Culkin. I knew
Richard
it.
Richard Hope.
Following that, Roy Hunter.
Oh. Sean Parrish.
Pat Gavin.
Take Pat Gavin. Okay, take Pat Gavin's arse up front.
I certainly would. Brilliant. Lovely. Thanks very much. That's it for this week's It's All Cobblers to Me. We'll be back later in the week with a very special podcast, as we'll be joined, Danny will be delighted to know, Keith Curl, Kelvin Thomas and James Whiting. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next time. Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
Goodbye, my lover.
It's James Blunt.
Goodbye, my friend.
Blunt.
Is it the new microphone making you want to sing?
I had a brand new combine harvester.
It's making me feel like I'm about to perform.
Ooh. It's Christmas time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Beautiful. I'm holding, you know what I'm doing? I'm holding my headphones on both ear when I'm singing.
It's the only way to do it.
To make it authentic.
I love it. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.